We are grateful that we will never have to know how much it cost you. We will never have to walk down that road of shame and pain. We will never be hung on a cross because you paid the price for us. We're grateful this morning. We worship you. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness, your faithfulness towards us. Thank you that you are the God that never changes, the God that never lies, the God who keeps coming after us, who keeps chasing us down, who is reckless in his love for us, who never gives up on us. Faithful, everlasting, ever-loving Father, we worship you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen. Praise God. Come on, celebrate Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Please help me greet someone beside you this morning before you take your seat. Tell them welcome to church. Tell them you came for the right service. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm just going to be continuing from kind of picking up from what Pastor Kate taught last week. And I'm going to be emphasizing on how important our part in the whole salvation story is, okay? So last week was Easter. And for those on the island, I was able to share what Easter really means and how God started with a plan from Genesis, and he walked every single book of the Bible till he got to where Jesus came and paid that price. So the real thing that Jesus came to do was to fulfill the entire books of the Bible. So Jesus didn't come as an afterthought. Jesus came because God had to come up with a plan for redemption. So he had worked from the very beginning where he told Satan that the same woman that you use to end this is the woman I'm going to use to start a new thing. Praise God. So he had a plan and he walked that plan till Easter, where Jesus died and rose again. Now, the good part is that Jesus has paid the price, and so everyone can have free access to dine at the table. It means that everyone can be forgiven of their sins. That's the whole point why we come to church. A lot of people think that we come to church just to come and ask God for things. If you truly understand what Jesus did for you, then you will know that you can't keep it to yourself. You want to share it with anybody that you can find. Because what Jesus came to do for us is something that none of us can ever do for ourselves. Because sometimes people make it seem as if Jesus was just an option. Jesus is not a way. Jesus is the way. In fact, he's the only way to the Father. So if anyone dies without Jesus, they are going straight to hell. I know it's not popular opinion. I know people don't like to hear. So I used to say my uncle, this is my very nice uncle, that because he's not born again, because he's not a Christian, that he's going to go to hell. Yes. Yes. And he will burn there for eternity. And he will not be consumed. So there's no end to that punishment. Now, God did not plan hellfire for us. He planned it for Satan. But Satan intends not to go there alone. So he's planning to take as many people with him as possible. Now, remember what I said. If you die without giving your life to Christ, it's hellfire. Now, imagine what Satan did with this pandemic. Just imagine how many people died. Imagine the number of people that died during this pandemic. And imagine if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine the way he decided with one stroke, one plague, oh, not two, one, to populate hellfire. And that's why we cannot be still. We cannot be quiet. Because people are literally going to hell in their millions. And there's no need. That's the painful part. There's no need for them to go to hell. None whatsoever. Because Jesus has paid the price. I gave this example on the island when I was preaching last week. I said to them, imagine you go to a restaurant and you want to eat. And when you get there, you want to pay. And of course, it's buffet. Eat all you want. And then you get there and you want to pay. And they tell you that, ma'am, before you pay, we just want to let you know that somebody has paid for the day. Anybody that comes into this place today to eat, somebody has already paid for it. All you need to do is accept the payment the person has made for you. Is that a good deal or not? I mean, that's a crazy deal. Crazy good that somebody else has paid. But do you know what most of us do? We insist. No. Why would somebody pay for me? Am I a weakling? Am I poor? Am I invalid? I must pay for myself. Unfortunately, your righteousness is like filthy rags. There's nothing you can ever do. Nothing. Because I need you to understand why we preach the gospel. Why we insist that people must take the payment. Because your own payments cannot cover the bill. You can't afford it. No matter how good you are, I told them last week, the punishment for sin is not good, more good behavior. You don't say, oh, I sinned, so I'll just be good. No, the punishment for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The only way you can pay for your sin is death, and it must be death on a cross. Because cost is everyone that hangs on a tree. And the way to pay for that thing must be true. You see, I mean, when you read the Bible, guys. You guys need to read the Bible. When you read the Bible, you will see that God always showed us from the Old Testament. He showed you a prototype of what will happen in the New Testament. So for them, when they sin, they say, oh, bring a lamb that is spotless and sacrifice the lamb. It will pay for your sins for a time. Then you have to do it all over again. But God said, you know what? This is too much. It's too tedious. Let me bring someone who is spotless. That's why Jesus is the Lamb of God. Because he was without sin, he's spotless. You have sin, so you can't sacrifice for yourself. I need you to understand this. So I don't care how much you like that your friend. I don't care how nice they are. If they do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they are going to hell. I don't care how much you like that boy. Oh, he's a fine boy, he's nice. But is he born again? Is his spirit renewed? If he's not born again, then your concern should not be dating him and praying for marriage. Your concern should be his soul. A lot of times, married women reach me and they send me a message. Please, I need you to pray. My husband is behaving badly. My husband is this. I want you to pray for my marriage. My husband should treat me better. And I laugh. I say, is your husband born again? They say, oh, no. I say, then our prayer should be that he should make it to heaven. That should be the first prayer. And you see, that's why a lot of Christians don't, you know, a lot of Christians have missed the mark. And I'm hoping that this month, we will understand and get back to the place that God wants us to be. God will take us right back to the original plan that he had. A lot of Christians think that we are Christians for God to meet all our needs. That's not, God never promised you that. That's not what he called you for. That's not what Jesus went to the cross for, so that you can have car. Are you kidding me? So that you can buy house. The price was too costly. And trust me, if there was another way, even Jesus said, if there's another way, let this thing pass over me. Obviously, for the cup not to pass over him, meant there was no other way. So he had to die. He did not die to give you a religion so that you can fill Christianity on a form. He did not do that. That's not why he died. So a lot of time Christians are praying, give me, 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 do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Husband, husband, car, car, house, house. And God is saying, these things are the minute things. You know, this morning when Pascal was preaching, as I was sitting there, I was just thinking to myself, I think he said something and then it just struck me. He said, maybe that's not what he said, but that's what I heard. Natural testimonies don't impress spirits. And when he said that thing, something hits me. You know, every time you come here and give a testimony that you got a car and you got a house, do you know they are not impressed in heaven? If they were, Jesus would say it. They are not impressed in heaven. It is, we are oppressing each other. Or we are telling each other what can be available. So if Pastor Jethro says, oh, God gave me a house, or God gave me a job, it is for me to know that, oh, they are giving jobs, so. But that should not be now be my focus. It should be an aside. But we give our lives to Christ thinking that, oh, now gives me access to God. And now that I have access to God, all I'm going to be telling him is, give me. Give me. God is not your errand boy. He will never be. He's too big for that. So if Jesus came to die because it was essential, tell your neighbor it's essential. Jesus came to die because it's essential. Jesus came to die because there's no other way to make it to heaven. And he wants you to have a relationship with God. He wants you to make it back to heaven and be with him for eternity. Because the life we're living here is not as important as the life we will live there. This one, 120, 120 years, if you really push it. But on eternity side, it doesn't end. So wouldn't it be more wisdom to secure the life you will live on the other side? Wouldn't it be? So I'll share with you why we need to preach the gospel. Because although I'm shouting, people are looking at me. I've told you, number one, people are perishing, you know. People are dying daily. Because this entire month, that's what this month is about, right? We are going to go out and win souls. People are dying in their millions. People are dying in their thousands. You'll be amazed. There are times when they call me, and they told me a couple of weeks ago that somebody passed on. And I could not, if the person had told me, I beat the person there. When the person told me, I was like, he's a lie, they're beating the person. Because I could not relate such a young person dying. What happened? He just dropped dead. He just dropped dead. The girl that led me to Christ. I was in Canada when I saw, and I had seen her 2 months before that. So she came for my 40th birthday. And then 2 months after that, in October, I saw someone just put up a picture of her gone too soon. I said, gone where? I was even thinking maybe she has relocated. As in relocated to out of Nigeria. So I now called the person. I said, you put gone too soon, gone where? He now said, Mildred, gone too soon. I say, because my mind could not relate with the fact that such a young person would just die. What happened? She slept and did not wake up. She slept. She was not sick. She slept and did not wake up. If that girl does not know Christ, she's going to hell. There's no sentiments about it. I know they don't preach these things again, but it's the truth. No sentiments. If this person dies, and you have not told the person about the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is going to hell. And just think about the many opportunities you would have had. Just think about the many people that you pass every day. There should be an urgency for souls. There should be an urgency to make sure people are literally... It's like fire is burning in this place now. And there are people inside. If you find a way of escape, won't you at least try to get... Even if you don't get everybody out. Neka may not come for anybody. But you go hold Pastor Jethro, Abby. Won't you at least hold Pastor Jethro? Uh-huh. When you're running out, won't you at least look for Neka? You may not look for me. But you at least look for the one that is important to you. So that's how I don't understand. How you wake up every morning. Your brothers and your sisters are not saved. And you are okay. Meanwhile, you have found a way out of the burning house. And you are okay. You can't be okay. You can't be okay. We need to preach the gospel. Because if these people die, they are going straight to hell. John 3:16 is a very common scripture. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his beloved son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Should not perish. So if they don't believe, what will happen? I know today is not laughing something, no. But whether you answer me or not, will they perish? They will perish. So you better answer with your full chest. As God is convicting all of us, let's be answering well. So if they do not believe in him, what will happen? They will perish. But they can have everlasting life. So it's up to you to make sure that they have everlasting life. Second reason that we must preach the gospel. Because we are commanded to. Give me Matthew 28:19. We are commanded to preach the gospel. This thing is to make neck pain somebody. So is it that you will give me here or you tell me to read my Bible? It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It says, go therefore and teach all nations. Now, there was a time when going into nations was missionaries going from England, coming to Africa to bring the gospel. But today, we know that it goes beyond that. Wherever, whatever field you find yourself, that's your nation. So if you are in the education sector, that's your nation. So God is expecting us to, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go to Kafanchan Or go to, I don't know, what's the name of that hill that they are naked? Coma Hills. You don't have to go there. There are some people sent there, but before you even go there, your block of flats in Festa Kunko, Maltu Estate, that's a nation. Anywhere that there's a community of people is a nation. He says, it's not even an option. He didn't say, please, could you consider maybe sometimes, I was just wondering, perhaps if you may just like to, if it's not too much of a disturbance, maybe you may perhaps peradventure consider, just a thought I'm just expressing to you that I would have liked for you to preach gospel. No. Read that thing. He said, go ye therefore. It's a command. And when the power, I mean, when God speaks a word, is what? It's final. He's not suggesting to you. He's telling you what you must do as a Christian. He said, you must go out and preach the gospel. So it's not optional. Tell your neighbor it's not optional. I know we'll not laugh today, but we'll go talk. Yes? Some truths need to be told. It's not optional. It's not Pastor K and Pastor M that are supposed to preach. It's not Pastor Jethro. Thank God, say they no kukuma call me, I no be pastor. You are so called, you have no idea how called you are. You are even more called than me. You are more called than me. You know why? Because my job as the pastor, I am part of the fivefold ministry. Our job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Who is the saints? Who is the saints? You don't want to be saint again now because you don't want to do the work of the ministry. Who is the saint? As far as you have given your life to Christ, you are a saint. You are the one supposed to do the work of the ministry. My job is to train you on how to do it. So I'm doing my work. Are you doing your own? So you are called. When he has given us a commandment, you can't dodge it. You know, the mistake we make is that we think that the things we will get will be more important than the things that God has prepared for us. That thing you are chasing after, what's distracting you? Is the things you want to get at be? That thing you are chasing after, let me tell you, it's been provided for. Give me Matthew 6:33. Can you give me Message translation? People want to stress me today. Kai. Wow. Let me quote the one that is in my head. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says all these things, all what things, all the things that you are looking for, they will be added to you. The reason why a lot of us are hustling is that we don't trust that God will keep his word. If you don't trust that God will give you everything that you are looking for, how are you sure that when you die, you'll go to heaven? You can't believe one and not believe the other. If you believe that if you give your life to Christ that you'll go to heaven, then you should believe that while you're on earth, you'll be taken care of. God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't have a reputation that you can affect. He's God. You cannot de-God, dis-God, in-God, on-God, a-God him. For lack of how to explain it, he's God and he will always be God, with or without you. So if he tells you something, he doesn't need to lie. He doesn't need to prove a point. He's God. He has said, stop chasing these things. Chase the one that is important to me. What's important to God? Souls making it to heaven. This one is not as important as the other side. That's why he's saying this thing, they are not important. They are not. Give me TPT if you can. Message said, you will find all your everyday human concerns will be met. All your everyday, what you will eat, what you will wear, where you will live, what you will drive, what work you will do, how many children you will have, who you will marry, everything will be met. Everything. He says, so don't put your eyes on those things. TPT says, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then he says, then all these less important things, that's what God considers this job you want to kill yourself for. This boyfriend that you want to kill yourself. He says there are less important things. Especially if he's not born again. He's such a less important. In fact, he's less than important. He's not even. These less than important things will be given to you. How? Abundantly. He's not going to even give it to you small. When you enter this realm, I'm telling you, your life will never remain the same. Your life, as in, Just obeying God fully, I walk in abundance, the kind of abundance that blows my mind on a daily. As I'm just with my hand, my house, nothing is happening, no. I'm not doing bedding, nothing's happening. DHL package just arrived. This one is from America. This one is from UK. Ma, 3 p.m. with 3 p.m. tribe. I don't even know what they call ourselves. Trip. That 3 p.m. tribe, sha. Tribe members. Ma, you blessed me, ma. What? I'm just doing God's word. I was never looking for these things. Some of the things I even say in passing. And these days, I'm so careful not to say I like anything. If I mistakenly say I like bread, tomorrow morning, bakery will be in front of my house. During pandemic, I thought I was a depot. Dispatch in, dispatch out. Dispatch in, dispatch out. Why? Because I was not focused on these things. I was focused on doing God's work, and he was making sure I was having these things. As in, the way God has been taking care of my needs is mind-blowing. There are some testimonies I don't want to share. Because I know some of you come and look for me now. It's gone. So we are commanded to preach the gospel. We can love. See, the hustle they are hustling, you can tell them that this hustle you are hustling, eh? If you will just serve God, God will give you all these things you need. I'm telling you, as in, if people even see it in your life, you don't need to talk too long. Third reason why you need to preach the gospel. Because we're commissioned. I was talking to you about a few minutes ago. You're a minister of the gospel, whether you like it or not. 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, and all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You have a ministry. It's not up to you. It's not like Jesus died and then handed it over to you. So you have a ministry. So you are called to ministry. Tell yourself, I'm called to ministry. Whether you say it or not, you are called to ministry. Give me next verse. It says, to with that God, my brother, give me the one that is speaking English. Give me NLT or TPT or something that is normal English. Yeah, I do these things not because I can't understand what they're saying. But I want you to see it in practical, simple English. Is there the reason why we read Bible and you don't understand? What's to wit? Those of you that judge me, your heart now. I know some people judge me. This one not be read pastor. She not feel read King James. That's why I like to be in service where Pastor K is preaching. What is to wit? King James, TPT says, in other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. Give me the next verse. He says, we are ambassadors of the anointed one who carried the message of Christ to the world, as though God was tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. King James will not tell you that, but he's here. God is speaking through you. So you can't even say, oh, I don't know what to say, so I know I won't preach. Go first now. He's speaking, as far as the Spirit of God is in you, he's speaking through your lips. You are just an ambassador. Go there. Ambassadors are never sent without instruction. They don't send them on mission without instruction. They give them instruction, they give them provision for them and their family members. I know this because I wanted to be an ambassador. So I studied all the book, but I'm an ambassador for Christ. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He says, so we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. That's the assignment. All this, I'm a healing evangelist. If you like, heal people and they go to hell. I'm an emotional healing evangelist. There's one time emotional healing evangelist was raining. Oh, I'm a prayer warrior. What are you praying about? Everything, the end must be reconciliation to God. Because you can heal somebody here on earth and they go to hell. What point is a healed body in hellfire? So your assignment is still reconciliation. And don't wait till you come and stand here. One day, I'll be the one to preach here. Let me tell you categorically, it's not going to happen anytime soon. Pastor ain't going nowhere. And neither am I. So before I go reach you, Pastor Joseph yourself dayline. Pastor Wale day. Before I go reach you, go take. So don't wait for this pulpit. Your pulpit, everybody has their pulpit. Your pulpit is anywhere you pull people out of a pit. So whether it is in your office, whether it is in your school, wherever it is, do the job of reconciliation. If it's wig, you are doing like Sergio. Sergio used to pray, anoint. He will now pray on the wig. Anybody will wear this wig. You could, when they pray on you, you will be saved. So you are a side chick. You want to come and buy Sergio hair. Your salvation is sure. There are people sewing clothes. Belly collection. You wear her cloth. You will be saved. So whatever your assignment is, do it. Do it where you are. Don't wait for, they don't know me. If they just give me mic. It's because Pastor K, Pastor K know they preach you. Wait till Pastor K they preach. Leave that thing. If they give me this pulpit, the amount of people that will be getting saved every Sunday, thank you. Where you are, save them on Monday. The appointed date for salvation is not Sunday. It is now. He says now is the appointed time. So anywhere you are, preach. Bosso, selling cloth, anywhere you are, reconcile people back to God. That's our job. That's our assignment. That's why we're here. Don't let anybody lie to you. That's why we're here. Oh, I'm a prayer contractor. Don't worry. See, when I pray for you, God will answer. You will marry well. You marry well and go to hell together. Of what use is it? He says the end point is that you're an ambassador for Christ. As if God is speaking to us and saying, please. We're begging. No, we're not even shouting. We're begging them because we know what's coming. We know what the end will be if they don't make that decision now. Another reason why we must preach the gospel. Pastor Gay shared this in first service. It makes heaven glad. Like I said before, natural testimonies. You got a house, you got a car. All of us will say, yeah, woo, yeah. May the testimonies be preserved in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the testimony that came out. That one is not really consigning them. Oh. Do you understand? That my children ate in the morning. I say, hey, I'm so happy. Mommy, we ate spaghetti this evening. I'm not impressed. I'm not. That's how it looks to God when we come and say, oh, I got house, I got car. He's like, yeah, that's normal. That's what you're supposed to get anyway. You're my child, you're entitled to it. But when you now do something, like saving something, that's saving someone, that's so selfless. That's what God is after. He wants you to be a selfless person. That you are saving, not convert and marry. If you convert and marry, it's still okay. But that's not really where he's going. That the ones... No, it's not really okay, but it's okay, Sha. At least you try. You try past the best in way no convert at all. So if you convert for your good, it's okay. But my point is, the focus should not be on what you get. It's just on how many people you get to God. Praise God. And then don't think that God is going to call you to just follow him in vain. When you win souls, you are rewarded. Okay, you are rewarded. There's a reward. Now, because of time, I'm just going to share one thing. I want to share a testimony before I play Pastor K's video. So when I got saved, one of the scriptures that stood out to me. Now, disclaimer, the way God speaks to me, I may be reading a scripture, it will just come alive to me. It may not necessarily mean that is the, you know, when you go to the Greek and the Hebrew, that's what it means. Because some people can just be argumentative for no reason. I'm not going to be tempted to go there. So I got this scripture, Acts 16:31, where the jailer got saved. And they said, he said, what must I do to be saved? And then they answered him this. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and all your family. When I saw that scripture, I said, so there's provision for me and my entire family to be saved. So when I got born again, one of the things I wanted was my entire family to be saved because I understood what happened when I got born again. It's not, you see, a lot of times people think being born again, I just said the prayer, so I'm born again, I can live the way I live, I can do whatever I like. When I got born again, it wasn't like that. When I got born again, if they see somebody who's born again and they see an unbeliever, we can see, without you opening your mouth, we can tell the clear difference. Now, if you put believer, you feel even pick unbeliever, say, I ain't born again. Because the way believers behave these days, the way they dress, the way they live, the way they talk, So I knew that there was a clear difference between light and darkness. You see, some of the things people do these days, because you don't really have an understanding. When I got born again, I realized I became alive. I was no longer dead. So it didn't take me long to understand that you don't date an unbeliever. You see, let me explain something to you. If you're dating an unbeliever, it's like you went to mortuary, and you pick dead body and you say, this is your boyfriend. Can you do it in real life? You can't do it. You can only do it in the spirit because we're all physical people, so we don't see what's really happening. A lot of you are carrying dead body about that is your boyfriend. dead body, light and darkness, can they mix? I don't even, that's not today's message. Let me stand well. So when I found this scripture, I felt like it was God telling me that this salvation is not only for you, it's for you and your entire family. So I started praying. I started praying for my family members. I started praying for my siblings. I started praying for my parents. I started praying for everyone to get saved. Now, it was so, and it wasn't a, sometimes I just pray. God gave me, there was one whole session. Was it the entire, no, it wasn't the entire session. It was like a semester. Yeah, it was a semester. There was one entire semester where God was intentional with me that I had to be at Sports Center. I did my first degree in OAU. So I had to be at Sports Center every night at the same time praying for my siblings, especially my immediate elder brother. Interestingly, he was the most moral of all of us. And I felt that that would even be a greater hindrance to him being saved. Because some of you, you're saying, I know this, my brother is good. This one, dumb. Good and born again, it's not the same thing, no. So this, my brother, was the most, honestly, the most moral. So I don't know why, but I feel now thinking about it, I think that maybe God knew that you can't, what bad thing are you going to tell him he's doing? He's not womanizing. He's not drinking. He's not smoking. He's not 5:30 mass. He's the one that, even when we don't go, even when nobody goes, my brother has gone in the morning, 5:30. We just wake up in the morning. Ah, we don't see him. We don't see him. Where he has gone to church. You just see him come back. 5:30 mass without fail. Every Sunday is the first day. He doesn't miss anything, God. And God told me to be praying for him every night at the same time. So I'll go to Sports Center. Whether I'm sick or not, whether I'm dying or not, I was praying for this, my brother, for a whole semester. Every night. So I'm saying you need to be intentional. Do you understand? It's not, you know, he make me verse today. I'm not going to pray for him. No, that, do you understand? This air fire we're talking about. Have you put your hand on stove before? No, stove is far. Have you put your hand above candle before? Have you put your hand above candle before? Now they look me in the verse. Have you put your hand above candle before? Did he pain you? No, because some people are not human. No, maybe he didn't pain them. Did he pain you? He pained you. Did you remove your hand? Okay. Because you could remove your hand. Hellfire, you can't remove your hand. And I dare say, hellfire will be so much worse than any of us are imagining. You know why? Because Satan will be there. And contrary to what you think, Satan is not going to be there as supervisor. He's under punishment too. So person where body they bite, what did they do? He will kill the people. I'm telling you, see, you've never, except something that pained you before. And you cannot touch the person. Well, maybe people are saints. There's a way you poor in this church. You are not like that. Has something ever pained you before? Somebody did you something like Neka offend me now. And I can't do Neka anything. I'm just thinking, let me just find Obosa. I would deal with her son because I don't have the power to do anything. Satan is angry with your father, the person who is supposed to be your father. Because the thing he's even angry about is that he wanted to be like God and God said no. Then God said, I will make somebody like me. Doesn't it seem unfair? Because you have to think about these things. So Satan is mad at you whether you like it or not. And you're going to go to hell with somebody who's angry with you and who is undergoing the same punishment as you. So if you just don't, you will slap. So you better shut up. This ain't no the pain all of us for you. Because some people think that Satan will not be feeling the pain. He will not be telling us, he'll be flogging us, frog job. He too is under punishment. So all of you that don't want to give your life to Christ, he will be flogging you and be receiving pain. Sometimes people wonder why the police treat us the way they did. So they are going through pain. So imagine. And there's no salvation, no. God, that's what makes hell really bad. That God is not there. So there will be no mercy. You can't say, I beg. Brother Satan, head jaw. You can't say that. And me and you now one before. You know, sir, they help you that time. And they do bad sin, I beg. Remember me. Me now your guy. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. So I started praying. And when I now met Pastor Ken, Pastor Ken told me the testimony of how he got saved. I knew I'm going to finish the testimony of my brother. So I started praying for my brother when I graduated from school. Because I never really had a chance to grow my younger sister. She's a minister in DCC now. But we're never really at home. I left for secondary school at year 5. So I left and she was just entering. So she never met me in any school. So by the time she was in primary school, I was in secondary school. By the time she entered secondary school, I was in university. By the time she entered university, I was serving and working. So we never really grew together. Even though now she behaves as if we're mates. She doesn't have respect, but I still know her well. So I didn't really get to know her. So it was at the time when I had started working and she was in university. She would come home. So that's when I now knew her. And I knew that she wasn't born again. So I started praying. I said praying that this girl has to be saved though. Forget good girl, because we'll be on more get inside. So they train us like good girls, good children. We don't know. My mother always locks us inside the house. So we're on more get inside. Good, proper. But that's not salvation. You can be good. You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't lie. One of my natural traits is that I don't lie. Jonas, it's not my temptation. Not that, of course, everybody lie. But it's not for me to lie. That thing will because I use my full chest to say things. What can you do to me? You can't kill me. Last, we'll go fight. I will tell you my mind. But some people with unprovoked. they sweat lie. The lie will just. Do you understand? So I was brought up in some certain ways. I was brought up in a behave yourself, respect yourself, don't disgrace yourself. You remember the child of who you are. So if you see me, you would think, when you wake up in the morning, pray. In the night, pray. Before you do your exam, pray. When you finish writing your paper, pray. You know, all those things. If I do all those things around you, you would think I'm born again. But I wasn't. So I knew that this good girl, where my baby sister be, you know, be good girl, that would not help. You can't enter heaven with it. So I started praying. And then when I met Pastor K now shared the story with me. And I just want to play. Pastor K's elder brother shared his version, very short version of Pastor K's testimony, and why it's important that you must intercede. Now, I need you to listen to the video. There are some major keys in that video. Why you must pray for people and the difference that it can make. Can we have the video?
I gave my life to Christ in the 90s. And one of my desires then was to ensure that my immediate family members got born again, as well as my close friends. Of course, Pastor Kesley, being one of my brothers, was one of my targets, and I began to pray for them. Fortunately, around 1995, my parents sent Pastor Kesley down to Makurdi, where I served then in the barracks, and they were not too happy with his lifestyle, so they sent him over to Makurdi to stay with me, apparently to, you know, dispense some military discipline and force him to change. Knowing what I know that no man, or any person for that matter, can be truly transformed without the help of the Holy Ghost. One striking incident that happened when he came was that just a few days after he arrived in Makurdi, we caught him taking India hemp with some soldiers who were already taking their hemp. You know, these guys know how to connect. They never knew themselves from Adam, but before you know it, Kingsley was all with them. And so we were so angry. If I remember, I took him to the guard room to be detained, and after we brought him back, and I knew that we had a lot of work to do. Of course, not by power, not by mind, but by spirit of God. So we engaged in prayers. I had an officer colleague, a very close friend. I wouldn't want to mention his name, you know. And some young men in the barracks that were born again. We prayed intensely day and night. We targeted issues concerning his life, you know. And we didn't talk to him much. We didn't force him to be saved. And over a period of time, not more than 2-3 weeks, he encountered Christ and he gave his life to Christ.
The reason why you're not clapping is because you don't understand that if this man had not prayed, you won't be here today. There will be no DCC. There will be no Pastor K. So I'm trying to tell you, you know how they say, let me not say that thing, it's not good, let me leave it. Let me not say it. No, let me not say it. Pastor K was a bad boy. Let me not even lie to you. It was me. The reason why our path never crossed is because I knew that The same way you avoid Satan is the way you avoid Pastor K when we were in secondary school. That's why our paths never crossed. Imagine his brother did not take it upon himself to pray. He said it's not by power, it's not by might. Some of you, your eloquence is what's disturbing you. That if I can just present the gospel and tell him what Hebrew and Greek means, if I can just get him to see, that's not what changes a person. That's not what changes a person at all. He started praying for him. Because somebody that they said they should bring, that they use, at least you went to military barracks. You don't even have fear. If you don't have fear of God, don't you not have fear of army? You went there and you were still organizing Indian hemp there. His brother could have given up, but he knew that it's not anyhow prayer. They started praying. He got together a team. What are you and your friends praying about? Marry. Lord, send us a man. Let him be like Boaz. Send me my Boaz. Boaz. Then your friend will now say, no, Lord. I want Job, the richest man in the East. The richest man in the East. Lord, cover Nehwi, the richest man. He got together his friends and they started praying for his brother. And they took different aspects of his life. The temptations, the things that can make him not, they broke it down. Now I'm going to give you tips on how to pray. I'm going to give you steps on how to pray. And we're going to pray. Because I really want you to pray for your family members and your friends. We're going to pray today. But see what prayer did. What no man could do. And if Pastor K could escape being born again, in my secondary school, we were preaching like machines. That's where I got saved. I got saved in secondary school. All the time. And it was so urgent. That year, we believed rapture was happening that year. So if we just go outside this, you know when the sun is setting, they will just say this, the sun is turning red, Jesus is coming. All of us will now go from room to room. For God so loved the world. If you do not give your life to Christ, you go to hellfire. Bed to bed. We're preaching the gospel. He never got saved. Prayer was what changed him. So there's somebody in your life that you're looking at this one, nothing. Prayer will change him. I'm telling you, prayer will change him. But you have to learn how to pray right. So I prayed for my brother. It didn't happen. I started praying for my brother in 1997. My brother didn't get saved till about 2012. And let me tell you, my brother got saved. He came to DCC. Pascal was preaching. Simple. The next 2 weeks, he started BAM in Gilead. He started medical department. Unfortunately, 3 weeks after that, they posted him out of Lagos. But my brother was saved. Now, him and his wife and their family, tongue-talking believers, doing the work of God. Prayer. What was I going to tell him? Smoking, no good. I don't smoke. Drinking, no good. I don't drink. Womanizing, no good. You see me with woman. What would I tell him? But the Spirit of God could convict him and let him know that me and you know, say, this is your life. He good boy, no rich. So the first thing, when you're praying, don't pray, God save the lost. God save my family. God has already done everything he's going to do to save them. But there are specific things you must pray. Because what you're going to do today, there's a banner. I don't even know if there's still space. Pastor Jethro, I don't know if there's still space on that banner. I don't think so. It's full. And which is what I think you should have done. I think you should have done post-it notes instead. I think you should have done post-it notes so that people can write it and stick it there. And then Dunamis will collect it after. Since they're praying on it the entire month, they would have collected it after. But now there's no space. They will go and write on it. Are you doing post-it notes in second service? Okay, so anyway, you're going to write the names of anyone you want to get saved. We're going to pray in this service with the 4 things I'm going to teach you. My time is up, so I'm going to rush through it. 4 things I'm going to teach you on how to pray for the lost. And then after that, for the entire month, we're going to be praying for the lost. Okay? So the first thing, Luke 10, 2. Give me New Living Translation. You guys, this will work with me very fast. Luke 10, 2, New Living Translation. Second scripture I'm reading, I'm going to read it in NLT and AMPC as well. Okay, it says these were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, so there's nothing wrong with people. The unbelievers are there. It says, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Let me tell you, sometimes it may not be you that will be able to preach to that your brother or that your sister. Like I said, was Pastor K preaching here? His brother-in-law that preached and led him to Christ. It wasn't anything I said. So it may not be you. Maybe because you, your behavior is not even really cuckoo good at home. So the person will not believe you. But they can meet somebody on their path that will change them. So what you do is that you pray that the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, who is in charge of the people that are getting saved, to send the right laborers there along their path. So that's the first thing you pray. That God send them people, maybe in their office, in their school, if you feel it can't be you. Because sometimes we think we must be responsible for their salvation. No. The important thing is that they are what? That they are saved. Who saves? Who preaches the gospel? Apollos did what? Planted. Is it Paul that planted and Apollos watered? Somebody shall did one and the other. And God gave increase. So what's important is the person getting saved. Okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing you do is you rebuke Satan. Fortunately, I don't have time, so I'm just going to rush it. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Give me New Living Translation, then you give me Amplified Classic. I want you to see these scriptures. I want you to go back home and look at them by yourself. Okay. Who should help me now? It says, in whom the God of this world... No, I want New Living Translation. It says, Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Okay? So it's Satan that has blinded their eyes. The reason why they are not seeing, because, I mean, this thing is too good to pass up. That somebody has paid buffet for you, say you don't want. It's because you are not seeing the benefits. And why? It's because the God of this world, who is Satan, has blinded their eyes. So what you do is that you can rebuke Satan and say, get your hands off my family member. I declare that their eyes are open. I take that blindness off their minds. Their minds will be able to understand what I'm saying and they'll be able to receive the gospel. That's the second thing that you do. The third thing that you do is that you begin to ask the Spirit of God to convict them. The Spirit of God to begin to soften their hearts. That's what they did for Pastor K. They prayed. It was God himself. Even though he makes it seem like, I just came to church. I mean, for those of you who know the story, he came to church. He had to follow his brother to church. And that's another thing. Keep inviting them. God will give you opportunities. Just keep inviting them. Yes, I just started inviting my brother to church. Come to church now. We see they do for us. Just come now. And that's how we started coming. I started coming. And one day, the glorious gospel just shone in through his heart. And that was it. Just be coming. You may not be able to do more than that. Just come. Tell them to come. Do it in a non-threatening way. That you'll be around the gospel. Pastor K just came to church. And then after they wanted to do a program. So they called people to do different things. If you want to be in prayer team, raise up your hand. Pastor K is not born again. If you are not born again, you can't pray that kind of prayer. He puts his hand down. They called different things. There was no one he could do until they said, those who want to do rally, what's rally? We just go outside, we bus. We'll be sharing flyer. They'll be doing music, bing, bing. He said, that one is easy. Put his hand up. Immediately, because they had been praying, they believed God had answered their prayer. So they all went after service and were congratulating him. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome. God has done. And that's how he's still here till today. Prayer and the Holy Spirit convicting him. So prayer. Then the last thing, you pray that God will guide you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The way I got born again, funny enough, was very simple. Wasn't anything major. But it was the only thing, because I'm such a logical person and a very practical person, you have to show me proof. I'm not very emotional. So when you do all those emotions, it won't work for me. So I wasn't feeling well. I was ill. And a friend of mine, this was 1992. Yeah, 92. So a friend of mine came to the room where I was lying down. I used to be very sickly as a child. And then she came there and said to me that, do you know that you can be healed? And no more the way I was feeling, anything to heal me, I'm okay. I said, hey, anything, what can I do? She now said, oh, nothing. I should just pray a simple prayer with me. I should just give my life to Christ and I'll be healed. I said, it's not hard work. They didn't say I should go outside and jump. They didn't say I should go to Babalawo. They didn't say anything, just pray. So I just said, okay, Father Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm listening now. I shall confess this thing. She just put her hand on me and just said, be healed in Jesus' name. I stood up healed. And from that minute, I knew that this thing is real. I could not keep it to myself. I went straight to go and look for one of my friends, Mabel Briggs. One, she was short and chubby then. I just went to meet her and said, Mabel, come outside. Say, Lord Jesus, come to my... Me, I don't even know. The thing worked. Do you understand? It worked. So I had to tell somebody else. It's like when you see where they are selling sweet amala. Except you're a wicked person. You go call your guy and say, see, 2 p.m. tomorrow. I got you. See, don't eat, oh. See, you know they take me seriously. Don't eat. I got you. When you find something, you can't keep it to yourself. And so those are the four things. So for my younger sister, I'd been praying for her. Then the Holy Spirit told me one day. When my sister got born again, it was a season where I lived in Port Harcourt, so I just came back from Port Harcourt. And when I was Port Harcourt, I used to attend House on the Rock, Port Harcourt. So I came back with a message. So I was playing the message, and then she always used to see me because I always had my Walkman on. That was the era of Walkman. You are constantly listening to a message all the time. So I had my Walkman in my ear. And then she said, what am I listening to? I said, oh, a message. She wants to listen. She just said, give it to her. So I gave it to her. After they finished preaching, I remember it was Pastor Paul at the Francis message. He finished preaching and then led her to Christ at the end. There on the couch in my father's parlor, my sister heard that message and gave her life to Christ. And she never turned back from that day. It will be in the simple instructions. You need to be available. So God may not necessarily cause you to be the one, but you may be pivotal to leading that person or opening the way for that person. So my younger sister, I didn't preach to her. I gave her my Walkman. Let me go and do something else. And then she listened to it and got saved. Just like that. And it's something I've been praying for years. So this morning, who is ready to pray a prayer for their family member and their friends? Let's jump to our feet. Let's pray. We're going to practice these four steps that I've told you. Pastor Kay shared a story just before he left this morning. And the story really, I heard it too. The guy that shared the testimony on TV. And it really touched me. Really, really touched me. There was a guy that God told to go and preach to an atheist in his office. And then he was telling God that this guy will insult me. He won't answer. They were alone in the office. He said, will insult me, won't answer me. And then God said, just go. And so he got there, preached to the guy. Of course, the guy abused him. Who do you think you are? Because we're alone in the office. Why are you coming to preach to me about God? What God? Made fun of him. And so he got back to his seat. He was a bit upset. And he said, God, why will you tell me to preach to this person? See what I said will happen has happened. Many years later, this guy was at a conference preaching. After he finished preaching, one of the ministers walked up to him and told him, thank you. I just want to say thank you that you ministered to me many years ago. You were the one that led me to Christ. The guy was like, hey, I don't remember you. I don't know. And I said, there was a day you were preaching to someone in your office. I was the electrician that was sent to your office to repair something. I was under that guy's table fixing something. When I heard you preaching to him, I heard you leading into Christ. The prayer you prayed, I received Christ. And today I'm a minister of the gospel. So you may not know what God is doing through you, but just be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want you to lift your hands. Have those two names in your head now, or four names, or 10 names. Whoever, your friend, your business partner, your neighbor, your parents, your siblings. Listen, the blood of Jesus must not go to waste on them. They must not go to hell. And I want you to begin to first decree that in the name of Jesus, the Lord will send laborers their way. The God of the harvest will send laborers their way. God will orchestrate a meeting, a chance meeting, something, someone will speak to them. They will encounter someone. I need you to lift your voice to heaven this morning. Malinka dosha tali abrahande gede, la sota li abrahale gedishta. Lord, manda ikato sataya legedesha. You are the Lord in charge of the harvest. Makaya leboshata. Send laborers. Makadaya bosha. Send laborers. Mambra dosha ke yelebosata. Eya lika dosataya lemosha. Imbradosa, in the name of Jesus. Secondly, I want you to declare that the hand of Satan is stayed concerning that person, that the God of this world no longer blinds them. Rebuke Satan on their behalf. And begin to ask the Spirit of God to convict them. Mande yeke libra halodosha ta. Ezayale manka dusa taria mande gedede. Leke elemosha ta ya lebosa. E maluka daya braha leke dishte kedede lebosa. E ya lima katosa nandia bralokosha ta. E ya leke debosa. Satan, you are rebuked. In the name of Jesus, we command every blindness to be lifted from their minds so that they can believe the light of the gospel.
Hallelujah. Ragasata la braba baba baba basata libra lucien salibrobos le crossata brandis siento fra li grasse se probos We thank you, Lord, because indeed their hearts are softened towards the word, softened towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can lay so tandy every decianta. Father, we thank you because no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draws. Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, because indeed you are beginning to work on their hearts. Softening them, drawing them, inspiring thoughts in their hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, because in the shortest time possible, the harvest will come home in the name of Jesus. We thank you because the harvest is coming home in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stay in a prayer attitude. Father, we thank you. Can we keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed for that one person in the house? You've heard this story. You've heard this said many times. But for too long, today is the day of salvation. You have kept it. They've told you about it. You know it. But today is your day. Get this thing over with today. Get it over with today. Start a new life today. Let's keep celebrating. I still see somebody coming. The Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven. Let's join heaven in rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have made the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. Believe me when I say that. Your life will not remain the same again. You have lived the way you know how to. Now it's time to live for God. Can you put your right hand on your chest and just say these words after me? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sin. Wash me with your blood. I receive the grace to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, because I am now born again. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Can you just look up? There's a sister just waving to you on your right. Can you just go with her just for a few minutes, few short minutes? They'll tell you a bit more about what to do next. Hallelujah.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.